I want to welcome you all once again to the Path Church. So happy that you are here. Just a great opportunity to worship God and to be together. As always, I'd like to ask you for a favor. I'd like to ask you for an opportunity to give you an opportunity to share your faith. The easiest way you have all week to share your faith, and that is to share our live streaming video on Facebook. So go to our Facebook page. We are streaming live from the Path Church. That information is the next slide on the screen. And we can help as many people as possible to be able to hear the word of God. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get into our scriptures. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for who you are, Lord. We ask you to be with us, fill us up today, Lord. Father, I pray that you will fill me up with your spirit right now as I preach your word, God. I need every strength that you can provide, Lord God. I pray that that you will work through me and through these scriptures, Father, to help those of us in here today who need you, God, that you open our eyes, open our ears, God, that you will reveal something very specific and personal to us. To help us to grow, to help us get through challenging times, to help us become more like your son, Jesus Christ, God. We love you so much. Thank you so much for this church, God. I'm so grateful for the fellowship that we have, that we get to share together, Lord. And I pray you will just bring us closer during this time, God, that you will strengthen our bond with you and with one another, Lord. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's turn our Bibles over to Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 23, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. We'll be looking at a number of scriptures today, so get your Bibles out or your phones. Hopefully you already have your phones out because you shared the video, and get ready to take some notes. I want to give you some passages that you'll be able to go back and study out on your own. There's nothing like spending our own personal time with God. Amen? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. We'll start there. And it says this: above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. That everything we do flows from our heart. Another version says it determines the course of our life, that our heart, what's in our heart, overflows out into our lives, and it determines the course, the path we take. The heart, the spiritual heart is just as important as the physical heart. Right? We know we got to protect our physical heart. We know that it needs to be cared for. We know that our physical heart needs to be guarded. We know that our physical heart needs to be protected, right? And so our spiritual heart is just as important as our physical heart. My friend Beth took a picture and posted this on Instagram, and I decided to make it my the title of my message today. You know, we just like to, you know, keep it hood classy. So instead of guard your heart, protect your heart. This was at Crog Street Market, and I love it. It's 4:23, so it's the scripture, PYA, protect your heart. She took a picture. I said, Beth, I'm going to steal this from you today. Protect your heart. That's easier for us to remember, some of us. You know, some of us are from the Clayton, you know. Nassau. Protect your heart. Hashtag protect your heart. There's an article I found on Meta. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to laugh. I'm not that funny, but every once in a while. That was funny. Okay. See, I got it. I found an article on medicalnewstoday.com from February of this year. It says that nearly 75% of all deaths in the U.S. are attributed to just 10 causes. 75%, 10 causes. The top three of these accounting for over 50% of all deaths. Over the last 5 years, the main cause of death in the U.S. has remained fairly consistent. Things like suicide, number 10. Number 9, kidney disease. Influenza, number 8, or pneumonia. Diabetes, Alzheimer's disease, stroke. Number 4 is accidents. Number three, chronic lower respiratory disease. Number two is cancer. Number one, heart disease. Heart disease, the leading cause of death, not just in America, but in the world. I share this because I'm going to make a point about the spiritual heart, but I also share this because we need to know this. Some of us struggle with some of these diseases and illnesses, and we got to make sure that not only are taking care of us spiritually, we're going to talk about that, but physically, let's make sure we take care of ourselves physically. Some of us, we have struggle with diabetes. Some of us have this, some of these ailments in our family history. We can't control that, right? But we can control our own health. And when it comes to the physical heart, there are some unhealthy lifestyle choices that contribute to heart disease. Not getting enough physical exercise, not exercising. Eating an unhealthy diet. We know that, right? Smoking, excessive drinking. Staying in a high-stress environment without proper stress management techniques. Stress can cause heart disease. Just stress, pressure can cause heart disease. And not managing your diabetes can cause heart disease. So these are the things that cause our physical heart to be sick. What makes our spiritual heart sick? What makes our spiritual heart sick? Proverbs 13:12 says this, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. What is hope deferred? It's not getting what we hope for. Not getting what we hope for. What is hope deferred? The message version says, unrelenting disappointment. That's hope deferred. Unrelenting disappointment. And so, you know, we've been studying out prayer, our Moving Mountains series that we've been going through. And usually our hopes and our dreams are heard in our prayers. Usually that's one of the things that we cry out to God about, right? God, I hope for this. I hope for this. God, you've put this dream in my heart. And so we cry out to God about our hopes and our dreams. And when we don't get what we pray about, especially when our hopes are noble, especially when we feel like we have the right motives, when we really, really believe and we have faith and we're not doubting, especially during those times. You know, a few weeks ago, I did a message on the things that hinder our prayers, right? And it's so easy to say, hey, God, well, I'm doing all these things. My heart is in the right place, especially when we feel like our heart is in the right place and it doesn't happen or it hasn't happened yet. It can be sickening. Our hopes are heard in our prayers, and our hopes sometimes lie in things or people, right? Sometimes our hopes lie in things or people. We believe that a certain amount of money may be our hope for happiness, our key to happiness, or a certain job position may be our hope or our key to success, or a certain person is the key or a hope for our fulfillment, right? And so we sometimes can misplace our hope, even though we may be praying about it, we can misplace our hope in people or in things. You know, as most of you know, we lost a dear friend, a brother, a member of this church a couple of weeks ago today. Kavi Padue, he was an awesome, amazing brother. He was full of life, love, laughter. You know, I'm so grateful that God allowed me to have a front row seat over the last few years to witness this boy who came into college at Morehouse and witness him mature into a man of God who was living his purpose with incredible passion. We so miss him on this stage this morning. So used to seeing him lead us in worship and give it all he has. We are so used to being ministered to by his passion and his love for God. But when we lose someone or something doesn't work out the way we plan, it's good to think about what they represented. What did they represent in our lives? For me, not only was Kavi a great friend, a great brother, he represented something more. He represented for me a new beginning for us as a church. We often compared him to a brother named Chase Nance. Because Chase Nance, we called him the firstborn of the GACC, the Greater Atlanta Church of Christ. That was our name before we changed our name a few years ago. And so he was the firstborn, the first to be baptized of the college students, and was an integral part of the church for many, many years, helped many, many people to know Jesus, and really helped so much in getting the campus ministry going and growing, and even served as an intern for the church as a campus minister for some time. And so we had this running joke that Kavi was the firstborn of the path. He was Chase 2.0. He was the firstborn of a new season, a new adventure. And so we invested so much into him. We invested our time and our money, and most of all, we invested our heart. We believe that he could and he would become a powerful force in the kingdom of God. I've been sick to my stomach for the last couple of weeks. Sick to my stomach. Right here. I mean, literally, right here. Sometimes in moments, there are brief moments of joy, and I can forget about things and just be in a moment sometimes, but it just keeps coming back. It's sickening. And as I search my heart, what I find is hope deferred. I find unrelenting disappointment. But while Kavi is gone, God remains. Go over to Psalm chapter 42. Psalm chapter 42. You know, this is why it's so important to read our Bibles even when we don't feel like it. Man, over the last couple weeks, I've opened up my Bible just because I knew it was right. Not really expecting to get anything from it, but just knowing it's right and just knowing that I should and I do. And I've gone on prayer walks just knowing that it's right. And I pray just knowing that. And a lot of times, if you read the Moving Mountains book, he talks about the cry of the heart. And a lot of my prayers have just been cries of the heart. It's just little phrases, God, just help me here and there, just throughout the day. God, I can't do this, God. You got to be with me. God, I'm struggling, God. Just little prayers all throughout the day, just the cry of the heart. But it's so important that we allow Jesus to lead us during this time, even when our emotions feel stronger than Jesus. He said Jesus is Lord. That means Jesus is Lord over our emotions. And so sometimes we have to lead our hearts. That we decide to do the right thing, and we trust that at some point the emotions may follow. Now, they may not, but sometimes they do. And that's why it's so important to even be able to sing to God this morning. To just give our hearts to God, even though we may not feel like it, but to push through. That's why I'm so grateful for our music ministry to come up here and push through and sing to God and push through. That's incredibly hard to do. And so it's good to read our Bibles, open them up, and see what God has to say. And then we find scriptures like this. In Psalm 42, the whole passage, the whole chapter is amazing. I'm just going to start in verse 9, where he says, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And the church said, amen. You ever ask why? You know, people tell you don't question God. I don't know why they say that, because we see it in the scriptures. Why? I found myself asking why. Crying out to God, asking why. And not because I want an answer, because there's some answers we know that we're not going to get, ever. The pastor at Fellowship Bible Church in Dallas, where we had the funeral, said that sometimes as God, you know, sets up the times and places, sometimes he looks at a certain date and he writes on that date, I'll explain later. And on October 1st, as I feel, it's like I'll explain. I'll let you know. You can't know now, but I'll let you know. Sometime I will let you know. Why? Now, I don't want answers. Really, what I'm communicating is a confusion. It's like, why? Like, come on. Like, why? Like, no, you know? Like, no, it's not supposed to be like this. Like, why? I don't want to know the answer. I don't think I'll know the answer, but there's something that we have to cry out and just say, why? It comes from the deepest parts of our hearts. It says, why have you forgotten me? Ever feel forgotten by God? Ever feel forgotten by God? Ever feel like, God, where are you? Where are you? My enemies telling me, saying, where's your God? Man, sometimes those demons within, where's your God now? Where is this God? Ever feel like your soul is downcast and disturbed? So did this brother. But what I love about this in so many of the Psalms is that he didn't stay there. He said what he had to say, but he didn't stay there. He made a decision to put his hope in God and chose to praise him, yet I will praise him in the storm. Even in the storm, even in the midst of trial, even in the midst of our soul being downcast and disturbed. On Sunday, as I shared at midweek, my mom and my brother surprised me. They came in Friday night of last week. They were with us on Saturday, and they left Sunday morning. And we had a good time. It was a good time just to be able to just hang out with them. And they left. And when they left, I went on a prayer walk. And I said, and as you may remember, Sunday, it was raining. It was pouring down rain. I said, honey, I'm going on a prayer walk. She said, in the rain. I said, yeah, I got a coat. I got a raincoat. So I went out in the rain with my hoodie on. Because I just had to go. I had to go. The memorial was going to be later on that day. And I just was not ready to. I couldn't do it if I did not spend time with God. And so I walked out in the rain, and just the first thing I did was sing to God. And I sung Good, Good Father, because there's a part of me it's hard to believe that right now. It's hard for me to say, God, you are a good, good Father, because what I'm going through does not feel good, right? And so some of us may be feeling like that right now. Some of us may have felt like that in the past. Some of us have another situation in our lives where things just don't feel good. It's like, how can something that doesn't feel good, how could it come from a good father? But I said, I got to sing this. And man, I was crying because it's like a purging. That's why it's so good to come and worship and say it. I'm a friend of God, even when we don't feel like it. To say, fill me up, God, because I need you. I can't do this without you. There's joy in my soul. Really? How can you sing that? You have to say it. There's power in those words. You have to say it. You have to yell it. You have to scream it. You have to praise God with it. You have to say, you got to lead your heart. And that's what I did. I went out in the storm. I sang Good, Good Father. And I cried away all those doubts for the moment and all those feelings. And on the last little stretch, I took off my coat, my hoodie, and I just prayed in the rain, went in the backyard. I just prayed in the rain, and I cried out to God. Tears fell as the rain was falling, and it was cleansing for me. And I was able, through that time, to get my heart right, to be able to go and serve God, to serve Kabi, to serve his family and friends. You know, for us, if your heart is sick because of Kavi passing away, you may want to ask yourself, what did he represent for me? What does his passing represent in my life? Pinpoint that. Try to figure that out. Because the first step in guarding our hearts is finding out what hope is being deferred. What hope is being deferred? When we go through tough times, what is the hope that's being deferred? What are we truly disappointed by? Try to figure that out. But maybe you didn't know coffee that well. Maybe it's just a loss of somebody else in your life or something else that maybe you haven't fully dealt with in a healthy way. Maybe it's an unanswered prayer that made you start second-guessing God. What was it about that pain? What was it about that loss? What was it about that grief that is affecting your relationship with God in a negative way? Try to pinpoint that. But don't stop there. Continue to put your hope in God and continue to praise God even in the storm. Amen? Most especially in the storm. Now, there are a few other things we must protect our spiritual hearts from. Not just hope deferred, but things like unbelief, discouragement, rebellion, self-medicating ourselves, false comfort, temporary pleasures, escaping. At least those are the ones that I've been struggling with. Just sin. You know, sometimes in the midst of challenges, the disappointment and the hope deferred, a sick heart will tempt us to sin. And so it's good to be able to escape in a healthy way. Watch a game, go to a movie, enjoy somebody's birthday. You know, Elijah's birthday today, 30th, the big 3-0, grown man. But it's not good when we want to escape in our lust, or we want to escape in alcohol, in drugs, pills. You know, it's not good when we want to so angry at God that we want to rebel against him and we want to throw a fit and we want to act out. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And I'll give you a second because I want us to read through these scriptures together. And I want you to write them down. And these, if you've been a Christian for any time, these aren't new scriptures. They are, they should be scriptures that form our convictions, that we are close to, that we often go to and we're aware of. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says this: stay alert. It's the NLT. Stay alert. Stay what? Alert. Stay what? Alert. Or stay woke. I guess you could say that one. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith, remembering that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. His scripture reminds us that we have an enemy. His goal is to devour us. He wants to devour our dreams, our faith. He wants to devour our marriages. He wants to devour our families. And while God wants to use our tragedy for our good, because God works for the good of in all things for those who love him, right? And that's ultimately helping us to become more like Jesus. Satan wants to use our tragedy to devour us. To devour us. He's not the type to say, okay, I'll give you a timeout. Okay, I'll let you pass here because I know that you're going through a rough time. No. Satan has the character and the attitude that he wants to stomp you out while you are down. He is not going to have mercy on you. The devil is not a merciful devil. He is not a graceful devil. He is not going to say, oh, here's my chance to take him out, but I'm not going to. And he's not going to do like the action movies, tell you his whole plan, and then let you escape. That's not going to happen with the devil. He strategizes. He's slick. He's smart. And he's going to try that because that's his goal. That's his goal, and we got to stay alert. We got to stand firm. We have to be strong in our faith. Sometimes we just got to stand. This week, I've just been trying to stand, just to stand there. That's it. I don't know if I can move forward. I'm just trying to just make it. Just stand firm on the rock that is God our Father, to be strong in our faith, to remember that we are not alone. He says, remember that the family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. There's a part of fighting Satan that there's a part of knowing that we are together, that we have a family that helps us to fight Satan. That's why it's so important to come together. That's why it's so important that when we feel like being alone, that's probably the most important time to be with other people. And the right people. Christians. All right? That's got to be the time when we come together. Because we know that a lion will prowl around and he will wait and he will watch for that stray animal that strays from the pack. And that's a temptation just to be like, I don't feel like being bothered. I don't feel like being bothered. You see somebody calling, hey, you know, mute, silent, I'll hit you back later, maybe not. But those are the times we have to open up and allow other people in our lives so that we're not alone, because that's when Satan is going to attack us the most. We may lose a job. We may lose a marriage. We may lose a loved one, but we must not lose our faith. We cannot let the devil devour us. We have to fight through the temptations to act out, to rebel, to give up. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter what? Verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. It says this. If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. There it is again, right? Other people are going through the same thing. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. God is faithful. He is faithful. He doesn't give up on us. He doesn't betray us. You know, I have to keep praying that there's a part of me that feels like God is watching me saying, how are you going to do this, angel? Are you going to give up? Like just standing back with his arms crossed saying, all right, what you going to do now? And I'm praying that God will help me understand that he's not doing that. He's holding my arms up during this time, that he's comforting me, that I can rest in the shadow of his wings, that he's there, he's faithful to me, right? And he has compassion on me during this time. God is faithful. In the book Moving Mountains, he says, we got to remind ourselves that God is not a betrayer. He's not betraying us. We got to understand that. We got to say that God is faithful. He's not setting us up to lose. He will always provide a way out. But why, God? Why even give us these tests? Why even give us these temptations? Why allow us to go through these trials? Why, God? Well, that is a why that he does answer. That is a why that he does answer. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. So even in our most challenging times, when we're tempted and when it feels like beyond what we can bear, we got to know the truth. And the truth is that there is a way out, right? There's a way what? There's a way out. There is a way out. But why does he allow us to go through this? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 says this. So be truly glad. Be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Amen? This scripture says that there's wonderful joy ahead. Sometimes it doesn't feel like that, but we got to hold on to the scriptures. There is wonderful joy ahead. And we know that for Christians, the best is always yet to come, right? It's always going to get better because we have the hope of heaven. And so we know that this is true, that there is wonderful joy ahead. But we got to endure through trials for what truly is a little while. In the great scheme of things, in view of eternity, our trials are very short. The longer that we go on the timeline of eternity, our life gets smaller and smaller and smaller as farther out you go in eternity. These trials, they test and purify our faith, which is more valuable than gold or anything else we hold dear. It's more valuable than our possessions, than our money, than our relationships. Our faith is the most valuable thing we have. And so God chooses to refine our faith and purify our faith through trials. And when our faith remains strong, it will result in praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Wonderful joy is ahead. Now, I don't like this, but it's just the way it is. John Eldridge, he agrees. In the last chapter, in page 224, he says this. Maturity also involves becoming like Jesus in the transformation of our character. It involves holiness, loving God with all our hearts, souls, minds, and strength. Being willing to suffer the loss of everything for Him. Choosing Him in the midst of suffering. Which is to say, having within us the character of Jesus, because we know that Jesus chose God in the midst of His suffering, right? And how does God shape our character? We hate the answer, but we know it to be true. Affliction. If you say that God does not intend to use affliction, then what in your mind does He then use? Joy does wonderful things for our souls. It soothes, it strengthens, and heals. But joy does not transform people's characters in the same way affliction does. You do not grow when life is good. Any parent knows this. The child wants ice cream and video games, but the child will grow to be a narcissist if he is allowed nothing but ice cream and video games. All the parents in the church say amen. The most radiant holiness, the most genuine and glorious love is expressed by those whose lives have known affliction. Jesus best among them. There is a war going on for our hearts. Tragedy, loss, and disappointment can make our hearts sick. And when our hearts are sick, the devil wants to come in for the kill. So we must guard our hearts and trust that if we stick with God and we keep putting one foot in front of the other, we trust that at some point we will look back and see our progress, which ultimately means we have become more like Jesus. Let's pray for our communion. Father, we come to You in prayer and humility. We come to You, Lord, many of us mourning, many of us knowing what it is to mourn, many of us experiencing loss or knowing what it is to experience loss, many of us feeling uncertainty and anxiousness and fear, or knowing what it is to feel those things. God, even though we don't like it, we know that in order to be like Jesus, which we signed up to do, that we have to go through the suffering that Jesus went through. But we thank You, Father, that You want to be with us through the trials, through the temptations, through disappointment, through the times where our heart feels sick when hope is deferred. Lord, You're wrapping Your arms around us during this time, and I pray, Father, that You will protect us from the evil one, that You will put a hedge of protection around every single one of our hearts, Father God, that You will guard our hearts, that You will protect our hearts, Father God, and that You will help us put the boundaries up that we need to put up, God, so that we don't
allow Satan to come in for the kill, to take advantage of us when we're down. Father, we pray for your holy angels to rise up, for your holy angels to fight the spiritual battle, God, when all we can do is just stand firm. As we take this communion, this cracker that represents the broken body of Christ, this juice that represents the blood that was spilled for our sin, we are reminded of suffering. We are reminded of heartache. We are reminded of the tragedy that was on that fateful day. And yet we are also reminded, Father, of the celebration that took place 3 days later when Jesus rose again to a new life, to encourage his brothers and sisters, and then to rise up to heaven. God, I can just imagine what those disciples felt like as they saw Christ elevating up into the sky. The hope that it gave them, that we too will experience the same thing, that we too will reign with Jesus, that we too will have unending joy, that every tear will be wiped away, that we too will be able to never ever again feel disappointment or hurt or pain, that never ever again hope will be deferred, but actually we will see the fulfillment of our hope as long as we keep that hope in you, not anybody else, and not anything else in this temporary physical world. Father, we love you and we thank you so much for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.